2-1-2 break. Lead pass, settle Brady, moving in, shoot, score!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Will Smith in front, he scores!
As the official ticket marketplace of the Sharks in the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Along the drive, great save by Askarov!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
The shot, he scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots, A spectacular rush from end to end.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And the Sharks skate from left to right. Here's Ponorowski moving through center. Slips by a check, moving into the zone. Centering feet for Smith. Thrown to Zetterlin. He tried to put it in, and he scores. The first thing is the zone entry by Andrew Ponorowski, and then Will Smith trying to poke it toward the net. Fabian Zetterlin got a second chance, and boy, what a celebration by Zetterlin as that opportunity slips by to Smith, and it's 2-0 Sharks at 2:46 of this game. Now another tip towards the net by Celebrini, knocked aside. Headman feed for Dallas. Breakaway for Jamie Benn. The captain moving in, shoots, score! 8-3 Dallas. Jamie Benn bangs it in.
Yeah, you just got to be alert. Within our meetings, we pre-scout, we show some of the things that we show. It goes out there and exactly the stuff we talk about happens. The Jamie Benn goal, breakaway goal, we showed three clips of that. So it comes down to being mentally focused and understanding what's going on in the hockey game.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is a Sunday morning in early February 2025. And I can't wait till we are looking at a Sharks team that is far different than what we have out there on the ice today. Not because I am just despondent over the losses, because I think these are a necessary evil. You have to go through whatever the team is going through right now to get to the other side of where the Sharks will be a contending team. But no, I just more look forward to it because I think it will be a more accurate representation of what has been being built here as opposed to what we are seeing out there on the ice right now. And I think that, you know, if we look at the Sharks roster from last night's game, and I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but if we look at the roster for San Jose, how many of these guys are we really expecting to be here in a couple of years? Tyler Toffoli, Fabian Zetterlin, maybe, William Eklund, Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, Jake Walman, Shakir Mukhmadulin. That's seven. Maybe Jack Thompson, maybe Henry Thrun, maybe Colin Graf. That's 10 guys in total. And where you're looking at overall rookie players, Graf, Thompson, Mukhmadulin, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith. I mean, half of them are rookies this year. And Henry Thrun is a guy that is very, very early in his career. And so when I think about the guys that are even guaranteed, like the true guarantees to be here in a couple of years, that is a small fraction of what is out there on the ice for San Jose right now. This team is beat up. They are dealing with a high number of injuries. They have inexperience out there on the ice, inexperience that is trying very, very hard, mind you. They have the challenge of going up against one of the best teams in the NHL in this game, and they're not up to the task. I mean, that's what I came back to watching that game last night. You know, we watch Dallas and they just operate at such a higher level. They move the puck with more efficiency and more purpose. They are better at finishing. They are better in their skill level. They are better at every single aspect of the game. Macklin Celebrini is a generational talent. He's also 18 years old and on a team that does not have much else around him. Will Smith is going to be a superstar in this league. He's 19 years old. Shakir Mukhmadulin looks like he has the tools to be a good player in the NHL, but he is still a long way from a finished product. Colin Graf has played a handful of NHL games, right? I mean, these are guys that are at the early, early portions of their career. You go beyond that, and then you don't really know what these guys are other than they're in the league, they're good hockey players, but we've talked about this before with San Jose. These guys are all NHL players, but there are too many of them on San Jose's roster to yield the results that you want to get. game in, game out. And I'm not trying to speak ill of any of these guys, but I think you just have to be realistic when you compare the talent on San Jose's roster versus the talent on Dallas's roster. There is not much of a comparison in the grand scheme, because I've heard people say, oh, well, you know, the defense is shoddy for San Jose, or the net mining needs to be better, or I don't like how they're structured on D, or I don't like how their power play is structured. And then, you know, you hear these complaints on and on and on. I don't think that you're wrong. I just think that the talent, you come back to the talent time and time again. You look at the Sharks roster, you look at what it was a year ago. A lot of those guys aren't in the NHL this year. This year, the Sharks are improved and they have a much better team out there on the ice, but it's still not nearly good enough. Ultimately, the reward for this for San Jose is going to be a team that in the future has another high draft pick, has the ability to potentially get that number one, and will have stacked odds to have the highest amount of top-level talent that they develop and control, and that is what you're suffering through right now. You suffer right now so that in the future you can put high-quality players out there on the ice that will hopefully lead you to where you want to go. Craig Button recently said that the Sharks have the number one prospect pool, and I think that if you look at the guys that are there, obviously Macklin Celebrini, then you go to Will Smith, quite obviously, Sam Dickinson, Yaroslav Askarov, Quentin Musty, Luca Cagnoni, Philip Bystead, Igor Chernyshov, Colin Graf, Kasper Haltinen, Cam Lund, Jack Thompson, Ethan Cardwell. I mean, you go down the list and there's just high-level name after high-level name for San Jose, and then they're going to get some more high-level names out of this upcoming draft. And so for San Jose, they have the ability to keep on bringing in more talent. But I also, as much as I try to rationalize everything that I'm seeing, of that they've been going through all these tough times to bring in all these top-level talents, the other side, the light at the end of the tunnel, you've got to show it to the fans, you've got to show it to the players, you've got to show it to everybody in the organization sooner rather than later, because there is a not acceptance level of this where you don't want it to become part of the culture and part of what defines the team, but it just leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth. These 8-3 losses. I remember the first time in recent memory, I can remember the Sharks giving up the 8 goals, and that was, you know, late in the 22 season, 21-22, the final year of Bob Bugner. They got blown out by Nashville at home, and that was just something that you never, ever saw. And then these type of losses have started to happen with more regularity, to where now, while you haven't had back-to-back 10-goal games that you give up like you did in November of 2023, you have had these games where you've just, you know, consistently gotten blown out. And last night's game was frustrating because the Sharks jumped out to a 2-0 lead, and instead of that riding that momentum to a high-level win, the momentum carried them, you know, too far forward to where they fell on their faces, and then Dallas skated all over them. I mean, that's exactly what happened in my mind. Like, they thought they were going to ride that lead to something greater than what a 2-0 lead was, and they were completely unprepared for when Dallas had any pushback. And the thing was, the way we started skating immediately after that 2-0 goal, I said to myself, oh, we're about to give up a goal. What was it, 17 seconds later, they gave up a goal, and then suddenly it was 2-2, and then by the time the period came to a close, they were down 3-2, and then it just, you know, kept on coming. Dallas, wave after wave after wave, talent, depth, structure, discipline. That is what a high-level hockey team looks like. It is so far away from where the Sharks are right now that it really reminds you how far away they are. Now, that doesn't mean they can't close the gap consistently, but you watch a team like Dallas or you watch a team like Florida, you've seen the Sharks going up against these high-level teams, that is the difference. You see the structure, you see the discipline, you see the skill level, you see the polish, you see the intent in the game. Sharks do not have that. However, you put another year of experience under the belt of Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith when you start next year, more experience for Colin Graf, Shakir Mukmadulin, Yaroslav Askarov, Jack Thompson. Hopefully you have Jake Walman that much more comfortable in his defensive responsibilities. You'll have more prospects coming up. You'll have more players that are hopefully coming to San Jose in free agency that want to be part of a very, very bright future. Hopefully that can get things turned around rather quickly. That is my be-all, end-all when I look at where the Sharks have been and where they are going, because for San Jose, it can't just continue this way. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't know or that Mike Greer doesn't know, but there is just, you know, a repetitive nature of what the Sharks have been going through. And the rest of the year is going to be painful. There's no doubt about it. I remember the end of last year, it was very, very similar. You had injuries, you had trades, you had not very much talent out there on the ice. At least this year, they have young and exciting guys like Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini and William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund and Shakir Mukhmudulin. And, you know, these guys are out there on the ice giving you a glimpse of the future, just like at other times this year. You know, Yaroslav Askarov has given you a glimpse of the future. And that's, you know, more and more of what the Sharks have got to do is be able to get those new young players out there in the lineup and give fans more and more of that light at the end of the tunnel. And then you combine that with bringing in free agent acquisitions in the offseason. The Sharks are going to have a lot of money to spend. The cap obviously is going up in the near future. They're going to have, over the next couple of seasons, more opportunity overall. But this is where the Sharks are headed. And I think that it's just unfortunate right now that it has to be involved with so much pain. And yes, you know, two of your more important players on the other side, Cody Ceci, Mikael Granlund. You don't have Nico Sturm out there. You know, these are guys that were previously going to help you be competitive and be in games. You know, Jan Ruda, an experienced defenseman, he's out right now. Injuries have hit this team. And then there's just the, I don't know if it's the demoralization overall, but I think it's just the writing on the wall for San Jose when they know that they have traded away Mackenzie Blackwood, when they know they've traded away Mikael Granlund, Cody Ceci, that more is potentially coming. Those three that I just listed, those are three of your most important players, A. And then B, it's just the cumulative effect of years of losing on a lot of these guys. Luke Cunningham's been here for a lot of it. Obviously, William Eklund has been here for too much of it. Fabian Zetterlund has experienced it since he came over in the Timo Meier trade. I think there is just a mental and psychological toll on these guys that takes time. And I don't think it's defeating them as hockey players. I think that, you know, you look at a team like Colorado and what they went through before they turned into a high, you know, caliber team. You've got to go through it. You've got to go through the bad times to get to the good times. And we here in San Jose had it so good for so long that this is a relative first for the team. This is not something that we have ever had to deal with previously. And like many teams have had to do all across professional sports, teardowns and rebuilds are painful. But the hope is that you get to that light at the end of the tunnel and it rewards you with Stanley Cups and, you know, a decade or more of contention. And I do believe that the way that Mike Greer has gone about his business is giving San Jose that opportunity. The other thing I look at that I think people who are impatient, of which I don't say you're wrong, because I understand it as well, is that not every prospect that the Sharks have is going to be a San Jose Shark. And that might be hard for you to some of you to understand, but I do think that Mike Greer, in addition to developing these assets, is also going to be looking at potentially moving some of these assets to turn them into players that are already established in the NHL, because other teams who are getting the reality check right now that they cannot go on forever are going to have to rebuild soon. I mean, you look at what's happened in Nashville, for instance. They're probably not too far away from figuring out that they need to make big changes. Who knows what's going to happen with Vancouver? Who knows what's going to happen with Pittsburgh, right? Like, these are teams that are going to have to come to that realization that the Sharks did a few years ago, where you've got to tear it all down to build it back up, and there will be veteran players available for San Jose to pick up. That's part of what Mike Greer, I imagine, is waiting for. And not that I'm speaking for him or I have a great idea of what he's going to do, but this is what happens to almost every team in the NHL, is that they wait when they're in their window for other teams to start getting rid of their guys, and then you acquire them, and it looks like a move of brilliance, because then the cagey veteran that was not happy and not having success on a losing team suddenly comes to, you know, the new team, the young team, is reinvigorated and suddenly has years more on their career. I mean, this is a story in professional sports, not just the NHL, that we've seen told year after year for, you know, decades now. And so for San Jose, I imagine that will happen too. And so while we all love the idea of all these prospects, it's also a constant story where you're being told, wait, 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 wait. And I think that a lot of Sharks fans are tired of waiting, to which I understand. I think we've all been extremely patient, nor do I think that Mike Greer should, you know, start making plans to win a Stanley Cup next year, because that would be absolutely absurd. But I do think that, you know, you are now entering an opportunity with draft picks, with players of the prospect caliber, young players, things can move more rapidly than I think we all feel right now. That's the difference between what next year is going to bring and what this year is going to bring. If the Sharks are still like this a year from now, I don't know. That would tell me that, you know, that things have gone off the rails. I think that, like, you see a Tyler Toffoli coming in here, and you combine that with the development of the young players, and there are going to be more young players infused into the lineup next year. I would imagine that strides are going to be taken forward in a big way next year, to where I can't say that it's going to be a playoff team next year, but I would imagine it's going to be much more of a high caliber team than what we see this year, in terms of fewer blowout losses. You take all these quote unquote close losses the Sharks have had this year, a league leading 24, you know, you win 12 of those, that's 24 more points than what you have right now. That changes the complexion of the team entirely, at least in terms of the view from the outside of fan base. And then you look at, you know, what you can continue to do moving forward. That would be my goal. You know, win half of the close games that you have gone through this year. That would be, again, if you add, you know, from the 37 points that the Sharks have right now, they would be the top team in the West, not in the wild card. They would have more points than Calgary, who has 60 right now. They'd be 2 points back of Vancouver and Colorado. That would be a dynamic change for San Jose, and I don't think it's that crazy to think that it could happen. So for San Jose, hopefully that's where they get to. If you'll notice, I have not talked too much about last night's game. Honestly, I don't think there is that much to get into. I do want to get you some of this post-game sound from Luke Cunningham. He had some wise thoughts, as he always does, an experienced veteran who's been around. He knows, and he was not happy with the result. Let's hear some of that post-game presser.
Great first five. Just downhill from there. They're a structured team. They play the same way throughout the whole game. We gotta know that. We gotta be better. Not give them chances, and looks like we did. Left V out to dry most of the night. So it's gotta be a lot better than that.
That's the voice of a man who just went through a very bad loss to a Dallas team. He's not happy. You can tell that there is simmering nature beneath the calmness of which he presents himself to the media. You know, I've been around Luke Cunningham a while now, and he's a great pro in this league. He understands what it takes. He leads by example. He plays hard, but he knows that his team just got cooked out there on the ice. And so he goes and faces the music. He's a leader on this team, and he steps up, and, you know, he can't change reality and make the outcome any different than what we saw out there on the ice. But he goes and faces the music with the media, and so I have a tremendous amount of respect for him in that capacity. He goes and stands up for his team like a professional would. He was asked what went wrong.
I don't know. I mean, it happened quick. Like I said, good start for us, and got to find ways to just keep going, even when they get one. But yeah, that can't happen.
Head coach Ryan Warsowski was asked about what the Sharks can learn from a team like Dallas.
Yeah, they're professional. They're professional and a lot like a team like the Florida Panthers. They just keep coming and they keep coming, and they play the right way. They play winning hockey. There's no cuteness to their game. They play winning hockey. That's what I would say.
And Warsowski also talked about the fact that they are learning who is going to be a part of the San Jose Sharks' future and who is not from now until the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. I would say Mike and his staff is doing the same. As we're all on the same page and understanding of what guys are playing for, who's going to be here for the future, and who do we don't think should be here. So that's what the next 25 will tell as well.
All right, I wanted to give you a bit of an interview that I did yesterday with Owen Newkirk of DLLS Sports, obviously talking about the acquisition of Cody Ceci and Mikhail Granlund from San Jose, as well as his thoughts on San Jose and the upcoming Four Nations tournament. Let me ask you about just the getting one D and one offense, because you have a top 10 goal scoring team in the NHL right now, and then a top 5 goals against, and I believe top 4. I believe they're fourth, if memory serves me correct. Do you feel like just not doubling down, but reinforcing both of those sides of the game? Does that tell you that this is a well thought out plan? I know that giving up a first rounder and, you know, a third or fourth, depending on how things go, that's a lot to give up for these guys. But at the same time, you know, this makes both sides that much better for Dallas.
Yeah. The timing of it now is because of the injury to Haskinen and then the season ending surgery that Nils Lundqvist had to go through He was actually playing quite well this year. It felt like he had taken a step forward as far as, you know, developing more trust with the coaching staff to play him in more critical defensive situations. You know, it's at least around Dallas, it was well known that the last two playoff runs to the conference finals, Nils Lundqvist was not much of a part of that. You know, he would play 3 or 4 minutes a night or get scratched or get bypassed by one of the other players from the depth of the team. And that wasn't really, you know, Jim Neal gave up a first-round pick for Nils Lundqvist from the New York Rangers a few years ago. And there were some doubts as to whether that would be realized, the value of that. And Nils looked really good this year. He looked like he was you know, he's never going to be a Victor Hedman type. He's just not that physical size. But he looked like he was taking a step forward, and he was ahead of, at least ahead of Matt Dumba in the pecking order of who gets to play. And then he suffers the shoulder injury, and he tried to play through it, tried to rehab it, and it just wasn't working. So I think that's why Neal pulled the trigger when he did, was he realized he wasn't going to have Lundqvist and Haskinen for a pretty considerable amount of time. And now his right side was Lyubushkin and Dumba, and that's it. And they didn't even have Miro, who is a left, but is by far the Stars' best right-sided defender because he can play either side almost as well. So that was part of it. But, yes, reinforcing both was really important. I think, Ted, really the thing from the forward side is they have to go forward thinking that Tyler Seguin is unavailable, right? Because he had hip resurfacing surgery. And that's not an easy procedure to come back from. And it's a long and arduous rehab. So while everybody hopes that he'll be available at some point in the playoffs, I think from a GM perspective, you'd be kind of dropping the ball if you didn't say, no, I'm acting as if I will not have Tyler Seguin available to me this year. And we are going to try to do the best we can to reinforce our roster accordingly. And if we get Tyler back, that's just a bonus. And with Granlund, like, everybody said, and you guys watched him every night, right? So everybody says he's playing top line minutes. He's playing in all situations, and he's having really one of the better productive offensive years of his career. Well, Dallas needs another guy like that.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have a lot of Finns on the team doesn't hurt. Right? People know Granlund, whether it's Hintz or Lindell, obviously know each other quite well. We also have Matt Duchene, who's a former teammate of his. Matt Dumba knew him from Minnesota time. There's quite a lot of connections there. So he seems like he's going to be an easy personality fit. But I think his game, with his quickness, his ability to play up and down the lineup, he can play in the middle, he play on the wing, he can play in the power play. Like, just, he seems like an easy plug and play guy to add to this team.
Curious from afar, your thoughts on the Sharks rebuild. Obviously, they are still going through it, but, you know, Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, they've been a big story, as has the rookie goalie Yaroslav Askarov. Craig Button said last night that the Sharks have the number one prospect pool in the NHL. Like, how much of that narrative gets through versus the Sharks once again being the worst team in the league in terms of points?
Well, I think it depends on how long you look at the time frame, because everybody can see clearly what San Jose is trying to do, right? Accumulating assets, building up prospects and picks, and trying to build for the future. And I think if you compare San Jose to Chicago, you're probably a year or two behind at least the expectation levels of the fan base and maybe the media that covers the team, right? Chicago, it wasn't expected to be a contender this year, but they were all hoping that the next year of Connor Bedard, he would take a step. Now, obviously, Celebrini had the injury in the opening night of the season. That was really unfortunate because, boy, doesn't he look good since. But there's not the high-pressure expectations this year, at least from my perspective. You know, you cover San Jose every day. You can tell me very differently if I'm completely full of it. But it feels like you have some runway to work with. You know, Mike Greer, Tom Holley, his staff, they have time to continue this build. But the question is, for how long?
Yeah.
How long before ownership gets frustrated and wants to not be at the bottom of the conference? How long before the fan base sees this and goes, you know, we're just not showing up because, frankly, there's no point. Now, look, Celebrini is a star. He looks the part. Hopefully he stays healthy, because when he is, he's a dynamic player.
If you,
I think at some point you have to make that step, right? I don't know exactly when that is, and I don't think the pressure is on to do that now. But at some point in a full-on rebuild, now you got to start you have to start putting the pieces together and starting to at least be competitive, right?
Yes, no, I agree 100%. And I think that, you know, out here people are looking at the cap space that they have heading into next season, the cap going up, the overall ability they have to make moves and bring in more talent. I think that's what people are waiting for. But I do think that getting the young talent in is now giving people that there's now light at the end of the tunnel. Before, it was the teardown, especially with the trade at the end of last year of Tomas Hertl at the last second of the deadline. That was tough for people, but when it came about that you're getting the number one overall pick, you get Macklin Celebrini, he looks like a generational talent, then, you know, now there's that much more runway and people understand where it's headed. As a final one for you, are you excited for the Four Nations?
You know, I really am. It's funny because in one sense, I've been kind of waiting for this to get here just because it's been a huge talking point, especially as we build up towards it, of worried about players that might be picking up an injury beforehand. And now, of course, teams will be worried about players that are participating, picking up injuries during. But yeah, I mean, best on best is always exciting. I don't think this is going to have quite the same feel of an Olympics, but I think because it's been so long, you know, it's been since 2014 in Sochi that we've seen this. Mm-hmm. So any of it is going to be thrilling. Now, it'll be really interesting from me, my thought process, how the NHL grows this tournament and when they play it, right? Whether it's at this time of the year, if they try to do something at, you know, preseason September, how they deal with players and stuff like that. The idea of getting the league ready for the Olympic window next year is really important. And I think that's the big part of it is, hey, we're going to have a 2-week break in the middle of our season in the 25-26 season for the 26th Winter Olympics. Now teams will have had at least some experience with that. There'll be more teams and a little different, but how excited, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
No, I'm right.
It's not the Olympics, right?
It's not the Olympics, but still, I mean, you get to see potentially Sid, assuming his health is there, his last time in the captaincy for Canada, quite possibly. And just when you get the best of the best, and we know this from our experience with international soccer as well, international competition, even if it's not the Olympics, the guys look at it a little bit differently. There's a different level of pride that goes on. It's fun. I think no matter what, we're going to have a lot of fun, right?
No, I completely agree. The only reason I bring it up is that I will be curious to see how because it's an NHL event, right?
Yeah.
This is not an international IAHF kind of thing or IOC. This is by the NHL. How do they use this to, one, which is most importantly, grow the game, mm-hmm. which we haven't had enough international hockey that it, I truly believe that for all the risks of losing players to injury and owners not liking that, best international hockey really does bring the casual sports fan into our sport more,
yep.
which is really, really important. But two, how do they make the fans care about a Four Nations tournament the next time around
mm-hmm.
or the time after that, right? Those World Cup of hockeys were great, but they were inconsistent, and then they would peter out for a time. I want to see a tournament like that be grown where it's every, let's say, 3 or 4 years, whatever the time frame is, so it's something that you start to, A, care about, anticipate, and really look forward to.
Again, that is Owen Newkirk on DLLS Sports joining me yesterday on the Sharks Audio Network. And it's interesting to hear his perspective on the outside of the Sharks rebuild, because I think that he will double down on his opinion of, you know, how patient can fans be? How long do they have to keep on going through this? Because that's what all of us are talking about here in San Jose right now after another blowout loss that was no fun for anyone. And I do think that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, Yaroslav Askarov have shown you exactly why we should be so excited about the future, but that doesn't make the pain of right now any less real. It's not fun to get blown out 8-3. It's not fun to lose to the Lightning the way they lost to the Lightning this year, or to Vegas, or to Tampa. You know, these types of performances, if we go back before the end of the 2018-2019 season, these were unheard of. You know, and even until the 2022 season when we got blown out by Nashville, it was mostly unheard of. And these have been too often part of the conversation for San Jose. On the one hand, you are earning top-level draft picks out of all these consistently poor performances. But at the same time, you've got to go out there and deal with these performances night in, night out. It seems like for now to the end of the year, it is going to be a hold on to the seat of your pants type situation. All right, we are out of time. The Sharks do not play again until February 23rd. They will get rested. They will get ready for the final 25 games of the season. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.